This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
Welcome, David Morgan, with the weekly perspective for December 8th, 2017. Well, this will be a podcast only, as I explained, because I am basically out of the country and don't have access to a strong internet. Starting off this week with Charles Hughes Smith, always a very thoughtful and deep thinker. Most of the stuff he writes, I certainly agree with. This one is a radical critique of universal basic income. And the article starts out, the reader's been asking him what he thought of UBI as a solution to systemic problem of jobs being replaced by automation. Article's definitely worth reading. I suggest you look into it. And after reading this, I came to my own thoughts on the topic, and that is one of the lectures I did at a Freedom Fest type of environment years ago ended with two pictures, a lion in captivity and a lion in the wild. A lion in the wild is a lion. It's being a lion, which means it has no guarantees. It has nothing that has been given to it at all. Therefore, it has to depend on its own ingenuity, its own consciousness, its own lionness, if you will, to survive. The other picture is of a lion that has been given, that is in captivity, and it may or may not consciously know that it's in captivity, although I would argue it does. But it has everything that's in the environment that it would need. It has a situation where it's very much like the natural environment, but the difference is it's provided for. It's given food, it's given water, it's given a mate, it's given things to play with, it's given a territory, and none of this, and all of that takes away from being a lion. Which means that this environment, although it sounds good, that everything is provided for, it basically took away the soul of the lion, if you will. So I'll leave you with that metaphor to contemplate on what it would mean for universal basic income. This is, to me, somewhat of a philosophical question, and one that needs to be answered pretty much on an individual basis, but it really comes back to what it means to be human and what the human experience is about and what's important for humanity. So again, I'll leave that to you and move on to the next topic. The next topic is from Bloomberg, and the headline reads, "Commodities crumble again as China alarm bells sink metals." The subtitle is, "Worries over China's cooling property market is hurting the metals." The article goes on that the Bloomberg Commodities Index has fallen 4.2% in the past month, putting it on course for its sixth year of losses out of seven. The big question is whether the sell-off is simply a snapback after a frenzied rally or the warning of a weaker economy. One bad sign for commodities going forward are expectations for slower growth in China. The country's pollution cleanup and a cooling property market will damp investment into 2018, according to Bloomberg. My take is somewhat different. First of all, as I announced on this podcast a few weeks back, that the ETF for the base metals had hit a four-year high. I mean, that's pretty impressive, and I think it's a breakout. Also, we can break this into sectors, and that is the foodstuffs, for an example. Certainly, there is a strain on food production globally. Several factors come to mind. One is, of course, climate change, and the other is, of course, what the climate change has done to upset growing cycles in certain parts of the world, which it's affected many areas. So that's one set of commodities is probably going to see upward pressure on prices, regardless of what's in the metals markets itself. Copper is strong as of late and continues to hold well above its 50 and 200-day moving average. And, of course, the all important energy, which we all talk about, and this push toward electric vehicles, for example. Certainly, we'll be writing in the Morgan Report more about that, but there's going to be a pretty big silver demand in the electric vehicle market, so we'll be touching on that and upcoming issues. Beyond that, oil and natural gas are very, very important. Of course, they've been very sluggish as of the last several quarters. However, the oil situation is more not only more important than most realize, but also not as robust as many are led to believe. Yes, the U.S. has become a net oil exporter. Most people don't really understand exactly what's going on with the fracking and what goes on at the margin, especially if you look at the tar sands situation. And that area, a lot of the majors have basically backed off and moved out. They've sold their interests and moved on. The reason for that is it really isn't economic. So there's a lot there at the margin on the oil sector, or energy in particular, that is something of to be cautious about, and yet very few are talking about it. And since I'm really supposed to be on vacation, and I will continue to do these podcasts weekly as I've committed to, I'm going to spend the rest of this on this company that has, you know, in our speculative portfolio, and I'm biased. I own it, and I've been recommending it for several months now. And it actually hit our buy limit when I was in Australia speaking. There were a couple of fund managers there that bought a fair amount and brought it up past the buy limit. It's fallen back since then. But the company has appeared to a variety of investors, funds, institutions, and analysts, and researchers. I would argue that there's only really two researchers that even talked about the company, to my knowledge, just myself and one other that did it about a week ago. But this company is backed by momentum. They have a very good executive team, first-class staff, chemists and engineers, thousands of individual tests, independent validations, and strategic global partners. And none of those are an exaggeration. This company has a technology that is a near-term gold producer that is engaged in the development and commercialization of environmentally friendly formulas and technologies for the treatment of materials in the mining and electronic waste sectors using its priority non-cyanide, non-strong acid-based process. The company extracts precious metals and base metals from ore concentrate, electronic waste, using only FDA-approved activity. It is the world's safest, stable, environmentally friendly alternative, which can effectively dissolve gold and other precious metals into solution. In other words, it's a green solution. It's quite a value proposition. I mean, the ability to put one of these plants in production runs between $10 million for a 50 ton per day plant. So that is a low cost producer. The risk reward profile, of course, it's a startup, more or less. Their pilot plants are being built and actually ahead of schedule. It's not limited globally. I mean, it could be installed basically anywhere. And there's about 50 million tons of electronic waste produced annually. Less than 25% of that is recycled. Smelters dominate this landscape currently, and of course, this company will be making inroads into that. It's a solution that basically very few are aware of, but over time, more and more people will be understanding what this really means. And I'll leave you with this. The annual production capacity, this is for one 50 ton per day electronic waste plant. So just do it on that basis and scale it up from one plant to, let's say, several. In that annual, you would get about 53,000 ounces of gold, 1.5 tons of copper, and 150 tons of nickel. And this is basis conglomeration of basically printed circuit boards and other high-value electronic waste. If you specialize in a certain sector of electronic waste, you can move the scale up or down. So this is pretty much an average. Something to contemplate. That will do it for this weekly update or perspective, and I will be back with you next week. Remember, there is nothing more important than the truth.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.